And good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. We are live here in the studios for the morning show with Chris and Susie. Good morning, Chris Bessler.
Good morning, Susie Perez. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's raining out.
Surprise.
Surprise. Anyways, we have a whole bunch of people here in the studio, and do you want to
We're going to be talking with the Sandpoint Music Conservatory, and we have in the studio John Fitzgerald, Michelle Handy, Brenda Rutledge, Catherine Skidmore, Keely Gray, and Karen Wiedelmeyer. And we don't have enough microphones to go around, but somebody say hello.
Okay, here it goes.
Okay.
Good morning!
I hope that was loud enough. That's an opera group,
that's
just so you know.
And, that is a musical good morning. You bet.
I said it was going to be loud. So we have the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint here, and we're going to be talking with them in a little bit about all kinds of new programs. Something very exciting happening. It's always something exciting over there. You have a beautiful building right in downtown Sandpoint, and we want to hear all about the new programs and what's coming up. I know you have some shows coming up, some performances. So we'll get to that in just a minute, but what are we going to do first, Chris?
Well, Susie, why don't we start with the weather? I don't know if there's any surprises there.
Okay, well, I will just tell it like it is then. From the National Weather Service, currently saying it's 36 degrees out, and it looks like it showers all the way through today and tonight. High today 39, low tonight 29. So if it's raining and it's 29 degrees, it's snow with patchy fog.
Typically, yes.
Yeah, typically. Yes. So on Thursday, chance of rain or snow and patchy fog, then chance of showers. So high on Thursday 37, that's tomorrow, and low Thursday night 28. And pretty much the same right across through the weekend. It does get up to 44 degrees on Sunday, so that's rain again. But I'm not seeing any of those little sunshines showing up.
Yeah, they're going to be kind of missing some sunshine for a while. But you know what? This is the kind of weather we're supposed to be getting this time of year. Some of the other things going on outside, we had sunrise this morning at 6:54 a.m. It'll set tonight at 4:06 p.m. Days are still getting shorter. In the last week, we've lost 20 minutes of daylight per day.
I don't want to hear that.
But you know what? The winter solstice is only about 4 weeks away. That's the shortest day of the year. And then after that, every day gets a little bit longer. Lake Pendere, the lake level now is at 2051.95 feet. They've still been drawing it down. They've drawn it down 1.36 feet in the past 7 days. So I'm not sure what the winter pool level is going to be, but I'm sure we're getting close to it at this point. And up at Schweitzer, there's a lot of snow up on the mountain in the seventh day pour forecast. They're not showing any on their website right now, any measurable snow. But if you look at the mountain cam, you can see there is some snow. So hopefully all this rain we've been getting turns into snow up on the mountains. Get some skiing going.
Well, I know people are happy about that. And it looks like if it's raining now, we're going to have kind of a wet winter, possibly. Is there any predictions?
Well, it's supposed to be a La Nina winter, which is wetter and actually cooler. We're hoping, those of us who like to ski, that it's going to be a big ski year. What else is going on around town, Susie?
Today, actually, the Train Depot's 100th anniversary celebration and fundraiser. That's the Sandpoint Historic Preservation Commission invites the community to celebrate this historic event down at the Amtrak Train Depot from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. At the Idaho Poor Authority, actually.
Right.
It's not at, I'm glad of that. It's going to be dark.
I mean, I think you could swing by and check out the Train Depot, but all the happening is at the Idaho Poor Authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to enjoy a delicious cake donated by C is for Cake, plus featured drinks by Laughing Dog Brewing. And all the proceeds go to continue the historic walking brochure for Sandpoint. And I think last week, Jack had those folks on the morning show.
Yep.
So that's one thing that's going on. Yeah. We can get to more of those After we have our interview with this large group of opera singers from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, headed up by Karin Wiedemeyer. So again, Karin, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to get a little close to the mic when you're just talking.
So can we fold around a little bit?
Yep.
So my name is Karin Wiedemeyer. I'm also the co-founder of the Music Conservatory here in downtown Sandpoint that opened its doors 7 years ago. But today I have the great pleasure to announce, sort of a spin-off of the conservatory. It's going to be its own entity, and that is the Sandpoint Opera. We now are really excited to have wonderful voices on board, and enough that actually we can have our own little productions getting started. And if I may take this time to share the microphone with all of our singers so they can talk about a little bit about themselves and introduce themselves.
Okay, one at a time. We're going to hear from the newly formed Sandpoint Opera group. So go for it.
Hi, my name is Keely Gray, born and raised here in Sandpoint, went to University of Idaho with my degree in theater arts, a minor in music and musical theater. I've been studying voice since I was about 13 years old and have been a part of amazing productions with Coeur d'Alene Opera. And yeah, I just love the arts, and I'm happy to be here and a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Katie Skidmore. I'm actually from Wichita, Kansas, and I studied there at Wichita State University, a great opera program there with Samuel Ramey, Alan Held now, and a former grad school for Joyce DiDonato. So it's a really great program. I'm a soprano and have been singing since I was about the same age, 13, taking voice lessons at the high school and really getting involved in community productions and singing at the local churches. And I'm really enjoying being part of the Sandpoint, now Sandpoint Opera. It's been a wonderful opportunity.
Just a quick question. Did the Sandpoint Music Conservatory of Sandpoint bring you here? Is that why you came all the way from Kansas?
I'm actually here with my husband. We moved here for kind of a lifestyle change, and I came across the Conservatory of Sandpoint because of a encounter actually at your local bike store. I had come downtown and didn't have a bike lock, had to go buy a bike lock, and I was really lucky to get talking to these gentlemen. And I said, you know, I was a singer in Kansas, and I'm looking to be active out here. And he said, oh, you need to go to the conservatory. And I said, well, is it not for kids, you know? And he was like, no, it's for everyone. And so I went and talked to Karin, and it was really amazing to have these connections so far away from home.
Well, thank you.
Hi, my name is John, and I'm originally a native from Monterey, California. I moved to Pennsylvania when I was about 6. I got my bachelor's of music from Westminster Choir College in Princeton, New Jersey, and then I got my master's in arts education right after that from Rider University. I came a little later to the solo scene from opera, so to speak, but I've sung with 4 or 5 opera companies from about D.C. to New York, and I moved out here actually for the Music Conservatory, and it's been a wonderful change to be out here so far. Sorry, I think there's anything else I need to say. I'm a lyric baritone, and I will take this moment to say, if there are any tenors out there, we need you.
Okay.
They always ask me to sing things that I can't sing. So if there's anyone out there who would like to try, now is the moment to come forward and say hi.
Can I ask a question? Since you mentioned you need a tenor,
of course.
What's the difference between a baritone and a tenor? I should know this.
Well, that's a great question. So there's 3 main categories for male singers. You have bass, which is generally the lowest voice type. You have baritones, which are in the middle, which is myself. And then you have tenors, which are the highest voice type. And there's different colors and all the different sections, but those are the 3 primary male voice types.
I think I kind of knew that from the Irish tenors. When you hear them sing, you kind of know that high voice, that pureness. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that.
Of course.
Hello, my name is Michelle Handy. I am a soprano. I also studied at Westminster Choir College in Princeton, New Jersey, where I got my bachelor's in music education. I moved here from New Jersey about a year ago to follow my fiancé, John, who said, oh, hey, there's a job. Would you like it? And I said, of course I would. So that's how I ended up here in Sandpoint, Idaho, from all the way across the United States.
So, Michelle, can I ask you?
Sure.
We've heard the three male voice types. What are the female voice types?
So we have the soprano, which is the highest, and we usually say mezzo, which is usually the mezzo, or alto, which is the lower range. And then there's also the
contralto,
which is like a tenor range voice, which is a very, very low.
Okay.
And I'm just going to add a little bit something to that, because within the categories, we have the lyrical soprano, we have the coloratura soprano, so there are lots of variations. Because every voice has its own fingerprint, so to say. And sometimes it is not determined necessarily how high you can sing, whether you're a soprano or how low you can sing, but where your voice actually sounds the best. And that has a lot to do with the shape of the vocal cords. So all of these then determine really what where your home is as a singer. So just to add a little bit to that.
As Karen would say, where you place your voice.
Yes.
We have another person to introduce.
My name is Brenda Rutledge, and I live right over here in Priest River. I have got my bachelor's degree from Colorado State University, where I have a degree in Bachelor of Music in Voice Performance. My husband and I moved to Priest River just before Y2K. Everybody remembers Y2K. Everybody was moving to the woods. And we finished raising our children. And as they all went off to college, I wanted to renew my musical pursuits and called the conservatory to see if they had anything I could do. And could I please come take some lessons, because it had been 100 million years since I had sung. And I found Karen, and she talked to me for an entire semester into talking me into coming and helping her introduce the young people of Sandpoint to the study of music. So I've been teaching lessons at the conservatory for about 2 years and have enjoyed it very much.
Mm-hmm. So some of you remember that, Brenda is a beautiful mezzo-soprano. And some of you, our first introduction to opera per se here, went was as an opera trio. Our performance that we did in January this year, that was From Dark to Light. And that's sort of how we started to form a little core group. And now we are expanding because the voices are here. So that's really exciting for me in particular, that we are now 6 singers and that we can actually create a little larger productions and different scenes. And yes, as John said, we would love to add a tenor so we can expand more of the repertoire that we're planning on doing. Our first opera gala is going to be March 26th next year. So we are in full rehearsal for that. And you'll get to hear some very exciting music that maybe you never thought you would hear in Sandpoint. So, for example, you get to hear the Rosenkavalier Trio from Strauss, and you get to hear scenes from Die Tote Stadt, Korngold, and lots of other really fantastic music. So, Marriage of Figaro, wonderful things. And so look for it when you see Opera Gala. Make sure that you get your ticket and that you're going to be in for an experience. Mm-hmm.
And that's in March, coming up this spring. So when you get a group of people together, new voices, and you're going to work on these individual pieces by Strauss and Figaro, whatever those are, does it take months and months to kind of like form those nuances of a piece of music and kind of interpret that music together?
Yes, so we are all professionals, so as far as learning music, that is really not so much, because we're all musicians. coming together, and then, you know, the staging and creating a whole production that has a line through, so a whole storyline. So, for example, when we did Dark to Light, it had a storyline. And then really, it's sort of like carving a statue, you know. You start with a core, and then you continue to work on it and model it until it is a complete production that has meaning, has a beginning and an end. And the pieces that we are preparing sort of fit into that storyline. So that takes about 6 months, I think, is what we did. You know, depending on the complexity of the musical pieces, sometimes it can take a little longer and sometimes not. That sort of depends.
Karin, so your March 26th production is going to be an original production?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an original production. Then we're going to lean towards comedy, so we have some thoughts of how we're going to do that. And so, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, opera is one of those things in our world that is not well understood, but I remember a friend years ago who did not sing at all said that if I could come back as anything, it would be an opera singer. Because there must be something that you all experience when you sing at that level. Is it the highest singing level that you know?
There's, for me, and then of course I want to share the microphone. For me personally, is when I really sing, that kind of energy that is created in the body and in the mind is transformative. It is so intense and so core oriented. It just seems to break through each and every barrier that I could ever imagine. So it's completely transforms, and it's a tremendous source of energy just there.
But can I ask, Keely, you grew up here?
Yeah.
So tell us, how did you become interested in the opera from Sandpoint at a time when there wasn't any opera happening here?
Well, I mean, I've been singing since I was in, oh goodness, like middle school. I sang with John Bruneau's choirs all through high school and middle school, and I took it upon myself because I knew from a very early age that the arts was for me. I always wanted to be a singer and actor. It was just my passion. And so I started taking voice lessons independently outside of high school as well, and then I pursued it through college. And through the amazing Max Mendez over at North Idaho College, he was heavily involved with the Coeur d'Alene Opera. And I started taking voice lessons with him. I was a vocal major when I was at North Idaho College. And he said, you know, I think it would be a really good thing for you to be a part of the chorus of this opera. I was like, we'll pay you. It'll be a professional gig. You know, you get to come and, you know, we're bringing singers in from all around the world. And I just think it would be a good thing for you. And so I did my first production with Coeur d'Alene Opera, which was Madame Butterfly, which was absolutely incredible. And I got to be, I was actually picked out to be a part of a smaller chorus within the chorus, which was really exciting because I was 19 and I was just like, oh my gosh. And so from then on, it was just one of those things where theater and opera and singing became probably the best things that I could do for myself. And I just kind of went with it and flew with it. And I am so lucky to have found Karin. I know we're probably, all of us are probably going to say that, because we all feel extremely lucky to meet this woman, because she truly believes in all of our talent. And I know without her, I would not be the singer I am right now. So,
yeah, I think just even having an organization like the Music Conservatory in a town this size is pretty unusual. So, John, give us your story. How did you get into opera? I think everybody's got the a mental image of an opera singer.
It's kind of a long story. I took my first voice lesson when I was a senior in high school. I had sung for a long time in community choirs and such, but I was going to be a biologist until I was a senior. Then I realized I'm not good at math, and this is probably a bad career choice. So I decided to, well, what am I good at? And I had taken piano lessons prior to that for maybe a year or so, and then I said, maybe I should be a musician, and because why not? And my piano teacher said, this may not be a good life choice. So I explored my options, and then I realized I was good at singing. I took my first voice lesson in October of that year, and then I had my first college audition in January of the following year. And then I got into my long shot school, And then I sang all through school. And then when I graduated, it's actually how I met my fiance. I decided that I'd never been in an opera before. I was 22, I believe, at the time. And I thought, I want to do this. So I called a phone number randomly. And I ended up studying with a gentleman, Gary Grice, who sung all over Europe as a dramatic tenor for 4 years, met my fiance, and somehow managed to get out here. And for me, that was the start. I was in The Pirates of Penzance, which is a Gilbert and Sullivan show. Mm-hmm. It was a young artist production, and they asked me to be the Major General, which has the famous really wordy song, which scared me to no end when I first did it. And I'll never, the first time I had the opening night, much as Karin said, you get this adrenaline rush, which is just beyond anything I'd ever felt in my life before. There's just so much energy. There's so much focus. And I had nothing previously to compare that to. It was something like I'd never felt before, because I'd never sung in that level by myself in that setting. So to get up there, to sing, to do all this stuff, it was emotional and like mental overload that weekend. And then as soon as it was over, I was like, I have to do this again. So actually the next one I did was Madame Butterfly, and I was Yamadori, which is a little part you sing for about 3 minutes, but it was in Italian, so it was my first Italian opera. And then I did that, and I just wanted to keep going more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. So, well, the production you're working on, will that be in Italian?
Parts of it will. Okay. I'm singing, I think, in German-Italian, I think is all I'm doing for now. And what the production that we're doing, I don't want to say fabricating, but we're creating this story out of all of these different elements from other operas. And that's what we did in January. We took all of these different arias from these operas, and we created the storyline that went from more of the darker side to a brighter side.
One of the things that most people who don't know all the depth of putting together a opera production, just experience it, maybe listening or going to an opera, which is an experience in itself. But the soloists get up, and there's then the chorus. And how many of you will be doing solos? Is the solo the most important thing, or are you happy just to be in the chorus also? I mean, it's two different, very different things.
Well, Karin. Right now, right now we are acting as soloists, duets, ensembles. Now there is this might be a good time to talk about a program that we have at the conservatory, and that is called the Young Classical Singer. So out of the Young Classical Singer, we have a children production also now, Amal and the Night Visitors, which is a children's opera. So, you know, slowly but surely, we're going to have young singers coming out of there. They can eventually then graduate into more mature productions in being in chorus, and then take it from there. So that it all fits together, and there are many ways to join in and receive that training, and then be part of a production according to the level where the singer is at that time.
Thank you. It's just a picture, you know. Opera really paints such a picture. I want to remind our listeners we're here at 88.5 KRFY. This is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, and we are live in the studio this morning for the morning show. We have a whole crew of amazing people with voices that never stop from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, and we're talking about the newly formed Sandpoint Opera, and we're kind of going through each person to talk about what they, why they're here and who they are. And up next is, and your name?
Catherine.
Catherine.
Oh, Catherine. I go by Katie, actually.
Katie.
Yeah. Catherine's the formal, though. opera for me has been something exactly what John and Karin touched on. It's an experience that you can't replicate anywhere else. And that's really amazing for someone who, I guess I have always been kind of a shy person, and really broke through that with music. And that's been really wonderful for me in my own personal life, but to have that experience that I never thought I would have of being on stage and being confident. And also, God, the experience is just wonderful. It really is. I mean, it's like an athletic event where you get the endorphins. You get that stage fright. You get all worked up and you think, okay, either I'm going to throw up or I don't know what's going to happen or my voice isn't going to work. But then you get out there and it's just everything comes back to you. And you're just grateful for the experience to share that with your co-stars on stage. You're grateful to share it with the audience. And it's unlike anything else.
And you moved here fairly recently. How long ago?
Yeah, it's actually been a year now. Okay. So that's been really good. We moved here in August.
And you came with a husband or?
No? Yeah, he was my fiance. And then we got married in Coeur d'Alene at the Roosevelt Inn Bed and Breakfast. So that was a fun experience to have all of my family come down and see where I moved, and completely different from Kansas, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lake and there are trees.
You got your lifestyle change.
We got our lifestyle change, and man, I wouldn't trade it for anything, honestly. It's difficult being away from my family at times, especially coming on the holidays, but it is so great to have a community that's so welcoming and to have met Karin and these wonderful people, and just realized that music really brings people together. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I wouldn't trade again.
Okay, Michelle, you're up. Okay. We want your story. How did you get into singing opera? And we were just talking with your fiance, so.
Well, I actually had a similar experience with John. Is actually, I read in a newspaper that they were looking for young singers. This was back when I was in New Jersey, for an opera to be in the chorus. And I said, I've never done that before. That sounds like a lot of fun. So I called up this random person. His name was Gary Grice. And I was like, I'm a singer and I think I want to do this. And he's like, all right, come down and sing for me. So I did. And he was the nicest person. And he accepted me right away. And I was in my first opera chorus, which was La Boheme. And that was the hardest thing I've ever done because it was in Italian. And a lot of the words I remember on stage I made up, so don't tell anyone. And then I was in the Young Artist production of Deflator Mouse. And ever since then, I kind of got the hook. I've always wanted to do it. I've only ever been in choruses. So it's kind of fun being the people in the back just supporting. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be a whole different ball game being a soloist.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Brenda, how did you come into, you know, you kind of described that you've actually been teaching now at the conservatory for a couple of years, apparently.
Yes.
But how did you come into
music?
Not just music, but singing.
I took piano lessons. I think every good parent should make their child take at least 1 year of piano lessons to at least introduce them to what sheet music looks like. And there's actually a lot of scientific evidence that says that if you put your child through that, it will help them in lots of ways. And good for my mom, she did that. And after a year, my sister, who's not very much older than me, was like books ahead of me because I never practiced. But I sang all my piano music. And in high school, when I played the French horn very terribly, I could sing all my French horn music perfectly. And I just didn't ever want to practice the French horn. And so I stopped that. And we did musicals in high school. We did a Cole Porter musical in high school. I went to a teeny tiny high school in Western Washington. There were 40 people in my high school class. But we had just the right combination of voices that year that we put together an Anything Goes production, which is a Cole Porter musical. And I got to sing one of the leads. And like these guys have described, I just thought, oh my goodness. I auditioned for the chorus, but they gave me a lead role. And I thought, I can't believe this. And I went to college on an ROTC scholarship. I was going to be an airplane pilot. And after about 3 weeks of pre-engineering classes, and I was not going to be an airplane pilot anymore. And my second
year... They're all like piano players, actually.
Yeah. And my second year of college, I discovered that there was actually a music building on campus. I didn't even know it was there. And I went over to audition for a voice class because one of the freshmen had told me, oh, I'm auditioning for this voice class. And I didn't even know there was a music building. So I went to audition and she said, yeah, you can't take the voice class. You need private lessons. And I flew clear across campus back to my dormitory and called my mother 500 miles away at work and said, this lady said I could take voice lessons. Can I do that, Mommy? And I was a new person. I studied for a year. I got married, moved to Colorado, finished my degree at Colorado State, where we did some Gilbert and Sullivan. We did a production of Don Giovanni. I was in the chorus. And then I stopped singing. I sung at church and taught voice lessons a little bit, raised my family, and we moved to North Idaho. I sang with the Pondere Chorale while my kids were still home, and enjoyed that very much, all the classical music. It was a wonderful experience for me, but I wanted to do more. And when I met Karen, and she says, she's always got wonderful ambitious ideas, and she always believes that you can do more than you yourself believe you can do. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and you kind of get shaken in your shoes. Okay, I guess we're doing that. And it's so good to have the bar set high for you, because as a race, we always rise to that challenge of the bar being set high. And I know we've all experienced that. And she set the bar high, and she handed us difficult music, and she trained us and encouraged us, and then we all are surprised what comes out of our mouths, and the exhilaration and the euphoria, really, when you sing something you 6 months ago didn't believe you could. It's amazing. And then you can share that enthusiasm and that euphoric sensation with your students and encourage them to come to the productions, because most of them don't know much about opera either. So it's an introduction to them.
Well, thank you for sharing your kind of your opera journey here to this point in time. We're here in the studios with the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, talking about the new opera company.
Company, I guess. It's in process, the progress is there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Karen, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I remember way before you even had the thought, you were giving voice lessons, mm-hmm. and you said someday there's going to be a conservatory, as you said in your beautiful German accent, here in Sandpoint. In your picture that you were just creating at that point in time, did you see having a component of opera? Because
I think,
an opera singer.
Yes, I think indeed I am. I probably did, maybe on the subconscious level more, you know, that that was something that I was going to take all the way. And that would be at least a very strong branch of, you know, as part of the conservatory. So, yes, I think that I did see that. And here we are, you know, in this absolutely wonderful building that we just expanded in. To the downstairs, we have over 6,000 square feet. We have just wonderful facility, and we have a little recital hall downstairs, which we call Little Carnegie, so which is a lot of fun. We have a beautiful piano that we received from Bill Reed, so we have a concert piano downstairs. So lots of things, I do believe, are coming together, and opera is a very strong branch. And if I may ask, I would love to hand the microphone back to John, if I may, to have him talk about Amal and the Night Visitors, because that is such a beautiful way to introduce the young singers to the classically trained voices.
Hi. So if there's one thing opera can be, is potentially a little heavy and a little dark at times. I think when people think about, when you say the word opera, they think of somebody being stabbed and then singing about it for 20 minutes on stage, which happens in operas. And then that's the reality. However, the challenge becomes is, how do you make opera accessible for younger folks, for younger singers? So Giancarlo Menotti, who was a composer who passed away recently in the thousands, 2007. Was a very prolific writer, and he wrote many operas. I think, well, I am in that. I think he wrote two. which is, I guess, more than one. But he wrote one called The Mall and the Night Visitors in the 1950s. And it has a lot of childlike components. One of the main singers is a boy soprano in it. So, and maybe Brenda can help me with the story. I just want to make sure I get the story right. Menotti was commissioned to write an opera. And he couldn't think of an idea to do it. So he found a picture in a New York art museum about the nativity scene. And it was a picture of the three kings coming and all this activity. And that gave him the idea for the opera Amal and the Night Visitors. And the premise is Amal is a very poor shepherd who lives out, you know, in the desert country, who lives with his mom, and he's a crippled boy. And the three kings, as they're traveling, following the star, come upon this house to rest. And Amal has a legacy of lying and making up tales and not being a very truthful boy. So the kings come, they meet, shepherds come, and, you know, all this interaction ensues. And the mom sees all the gold that they're bringing to the baby Jesus, and she steals some for herself on the premise of, you know, they have so much, if we take just a little bit, no harm will come, and we desperately need this. And so she gets caught, and so on and so forth. And then as a reconciliation, Amal, the boy, offers to give his crutch, which is everything he has, as a gift. And as that happens, he can magically walk again. And that's you know, the big coming around. That's a very happy ending. And then he goes off with the kings who keep traveling. And first of all, it's a great story. It's a very nice, it's a Christmassy themed story. And one of the main singers is a boy soprano, which is not what you would expect. So just from a child perspective, it becomes very accessible. It's not just older people who are giving all this music. It's somebody, you know, their age, who's singing and doing and making all this beautiful music that Amal sings. And the shepherds who come in, and there's a little chorus of shepherds. They do this little, you know, dance scene in the middle for the kings. And generally, there's kids with them. So unlike operas like La Boheme or Don Giovanni, which are a little heavier, the music is very accessible. And the people who are in it are generally kids. So it's a wonderful beginning opera to help, you know, to engage kids with. It's not too distant, it's not too foreign.
And it's in English.
And it's in English, mm-hmm. which is a huge barrier to overcome. Mm-hmm.
So you're telling this story largely with songs, right?
Yes.
In fact, operas are all sung.
Yeah.
That's the definition of an opera. There's no speaking at all.
It's only singing. Yeah. Okay. So you have to be able to comprehend what's being sung. Mm-hmm. And my question is, this is in English.
Yes.
So that's probably makes it much more understandable.
Yes.
but how about the audience that comes to see an opera and they do get German or Italian? How does the audience get pulled into the story and follow the story?
Well, I think two ways. Well, one way, not all the time, generally they already know the story. It's like reading a book you've already read and very
like,
much
like
enjoy.
Reading Shakespeare before you go
yeah.
see Shakespeare.
Play. Yeah, yeah. Also, other times they have what's called, I think it's what it's called, is supertitles. And it's basically when you go see a foreign film in a movie theater, you have subtitles. And generally, whether it's on a projection screen, if you go to the Metropolitan Opera in New York, in every little seat they have this little digital display yeah. in front of every seat where you can cycle whatever language you want. So if you're going to see Madame Butterfly, and if you're Russian, you can have it translated in Russian for you. Mm. So that becomes a big barrier. So that alleviates mm-hmm. the difficulty of the language barrier.
Mm-hmm. So the Amal and the Night Visitor, have you done that one here, Karin?
No.
Okay. So is it in the thought
yes,
process?
Yes, so the performance is on December 18th. Okay. We have two performances. One at 2 o'clock and one at 5 o'clock. There will be at the First Lutheran Church on Olive. So, and again, the Amal and the Night Visitors, December 18th, 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church on Olive.
So one day.
One day, two performances.
Two performances, yes. At 2 and 5 at the Lutheran Church,
yes.
Olive and Ontario.
Ontario.
So you're going to have a lot of children in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How big is that production? How many people is that involved?
15 to 20. Yeah, I think a little more. I think 17 or 18, to be exact, are in there. we have 4 adults. So Brenda is singing the mother in Amal, and then we have Cody Moore and Andrew Lapadat, an alternate cast for singing the boy soprano, Amal, and beautiful voices, a very exciting opportunity for them as well to do this. And then we have the Kings that are adults, and then the Shepherds and are mostly children or young singers, so per se. They come from the classical. There are a few. Well, exactly. Yes.
Well, that's very exciting. So mm-hmm. that's coming up on Mall and the Night Visitors mm-hmm. with the conservatory here in Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. And then looking forward next year, you know, we're looking at the Bastien and Bastienne. It's the first opera that Mozart wrote that's very much for children and a very young singer. So, and then also we have done in the past Hansel and Gretel. We might take a different approach to Hansel and Gretel and see if we can make that richer performance this time more. So, and that's all for the young classical singer to guide them into the operatic mm-hmm. productions.
And then you have your March program that's coming up.
And then we have on November 20th, which is coming up this Sunday, mm-hmm. we have our annual fall serenade. So that is about an hour and 15 minutes of classical music, more really from the 20th century, so it's a little bit more modern-oriented. You will hear some opera in there. You know, we are singing the Rosenkavalier-Strauss trio, the Rosenkavalier trio by Strauss. But there are lots of other beautiful pieces in there. And then afterwards, we always have a fabulous feast. So we have a dinner and we have a dessert auction, and all proceeds benefit the scholarships program. And that is really important because we want to be sure that we remove all economic barriers and that for children to participate at the conservatory in the community programs, the Music Matter programs, which are 2 choirs, 2 orchestras, and soon also theater. And there's really no child that cannot afford this. So that's why we're doing these 2 performances a year.
And that's this Sunday.
Also at the Lutheran Church at 5:00. And so be sure that if you're planning on coming, I recommend to be there timely, because we do anticipate a pretty big turnout. We have a saying in German, love goes through the stomach. So there's fabulous music and fabulous food, mm-hmm. just so you know.
I just want to mention that the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint is a nonprofit, and mm-hmm. you do a lot of grant writing and fundraising, mm-hmm. and this is one of your big ones, mm-hmm. so that you can lower those barriers, economic barriers, to anyone, because you really believe children should have this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also actually adults. We want to be sure that the Sandpoint community knows that I'd say just about 25% of our students are adults. So if you have dust on an instrument in your closet, come and see us.
Karen, I want you to say love goes through the stomach in German, please.
Oh, Liebe geht durch den Magen.
That's cute. Just to recap, this Sunday at the Lutheran Church, you're having your fall serenade. It's a big fundraiser, and there's dinner. And how do you get tickets, and how do you sign up? You just show up?
Yes, in this case is really to just come. We have a suggested donation of $10, but if you want to leave more, we will not stop you.
So have that donation can right
out
there.
We have a donation. Yeah, we do appreciate the support. And I should say, actually, the week after, which is on the 27th, I have a little recital together with Melody Puller, which is in the Catholic church at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and I will be singing the four last songs by Strauss, which are really a very special and wonderful selection of music. So for those who did not get enough this Sunday, if you'd like to come and hear that presentation, I'd like to invite you to the Catholic Church on the 27th at 5 o'clock.
I have to say, opera just sends me through the roof. It's so amazing.
Yes.
And I never really got that until you hear it and you see it in person. It's very different than a recording. Recordings are great, but yes. It's very stunning. It stuns you in a way.
And you did. You guys produced an opera. Was in the spring? When was the first one you did?
Well, the first one was From Dark to Light. And that was its very own production. And I think that we are creating our own elements, so to say, where we are using acting and opera in a new way. So to challenge, also to create a little bit of an intellectual challenge and combine that with really beautiful music. So I think we're in the process of having our own fingerprint, operatic fingerprint, so to say, a footprint. Well, anyway. just really be creative and maybe break through to some of the traditional ways of opera and take a look at something new. If you would like to see what we are up to, you can find information about the conservatory and upcoming events at sandpointconservatory.org. That is where you see our calendar, our classes, and our phone number is 265-4444. One more time. So 208, of course, 265-4444. We are on 110 Main Street, right in downtown, and you can just come in and see us, and we would be happy to show you the beautiful facility. And
is that facility permanent now?
I mean, well, we're looking at it. We sure that's our desire, and we are working towards that to see
and this,
how
this
that...
is the former Sandpoint City Hall, actually.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a historic building right in our
downtown. And it's a perfect, has the ambiance of a conservatory, and it would be wonderful to have it go see kind of building that has artistic elements to it. So when people come to Sandpoint, they see what this building is about, they see the music in it, the drama, and that it has features that represent that and make it a very unique building that is part of the Sandpoint culture, art culture.
I know one thing, Karen, you know, that your vision from the way back when, you've continued, you have a lot of patience, but you never lost your sight on the prize. And I'm just wondering in 10 years what that prize is going to look like, because you've done an amazing thing bringing this to our community. As you say, it's a cultural event almost. It's something beautiful.
Well, what I would love to see is for the whole community to join that vision, first of all, and to really understand what that could mean and, you know, how this school right now and also the opera program can contribute to the cultural wealth in Sandpoint, and add to the dimension of, you know, what Sandpoint has to offer, aside from just outdoors and, you know, from the art, to really create this very rich environment that has these offerings, and to really have absolute fabulous quality. Now, for the school itself is, I would like within 10 years to see that we eventually can create a bachelor's program and possibly a master's program, and that might be 10 years or more, I don't know, but that's a goal, to have the school continue in its accreditation process.
That might be in concert with North Idaho College or University of Idaho?
For example, yes, the conservatory sort of has a little bit of its own doing, but definitely we are talking to them. We are looking for, you know, these kind of relationships all around. So our students, you know, they can be here, they can go there, but whatever they choose, they have an excellent opportunity to succeed.
Well, it's always wonderful to hear about what you're doing and the success that you are giving to our community through your academy there. the conservatory. I want to thank everyone for coming in today and giving us just a picture and a real exciting kind of inspiration for opera in our community. And thank you for taking the time to learn those songs.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. And anytime, you have a lot of events coming up, and people can go to, what was that website again? Sandpointconservatory.org?
.org. We are 265-4444. That is our phone number. And Facebook, you can find us on Facebook. That will also always have updated events and sometimes shows you a peek through the window of what we're doing.
Well, it's been a lot of fun having everyone in the studio, and thanks for that beautiful moment of voices before we started today. That was loud. So we're going to hear a little song right now. Leonard Cohen passed away this week, an iconic folk art musician, singer-songwriter, and I have one of his songs queued up. It's called Sisters of Mercy. This is performed by Judy Collins, and we'll be right back with more of the KRFY Morning Show right after this song, Judy Collins, Sister of Mercy. And that was Judy Collins singing the song by Leonard Cohen, Sisters of Mercy. And Leonard Cohen passed away this week. And Chris, what else is going on in our town? That was really fun having the Music Conservatory and a whole crew of amazing voices in one room.
Hey, who knew that we were going to have our own opera group here in Sandpoint, Sandpoint Opera.
That is so cool.
That's pretty cool. Well, as usual, there's a ton going on around town. You already mentioned that tonight is the 100th anniversary celebration for the train depot. That's happening from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Idaho Port Authority. Coming up this weekend, some of the big events are the annual Christmas fair that's held out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. It's going to run I might have that wrong.
Well, I have that, but it's on Saturday.
Well, yeah, but we've got to check the date on that.
Okay.
Definitely happening this weekend, though, is the K&K Thanksgiving Derby kicks off. That's November 19th through the 27th. So they run for over a full week, and that's getting out, going after some big fish on the lake and winning prizes. They actually have more than $10,000 in cash and prizes for that.
Oh, that's exciting.
Another noteworthy event is the staging of Hamlet, classic Shakespeare. And that is being put on by the Unknown Locals on both Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. At the Hartwood Center, which is at 615 Oak. Doors open at 7, curtains rise at 7:30. If you haven't caught a Shakespeare play, this would be a good one to go see. I think it's kind of set contemporary, but they are telling the story in Shakespeare's blank verse, so that's a very cool one. And on Friday, the Pondere Arts Council is presenting Living Voices, Native Vision at the Panada Theater. That's at 7 p.m., It's part of the POAX performance series, and you follow along as a Navajo girl explores her family's past while struggling to keep her culture in a government-run boarding school. So it's got a very strong historic element on it. What else? Susie,
well,
what are some of your favorites? As usual, we have way more going on in this town than we can get through in our few minutes here.
And where can we go to find out and see a really great community calendar?
Right on our website, KRFY.org. Of course, the calendars are provided by SandpointOnline.com, so you can go there as well.
That's great. I want to talk a little bit about what's coming up tomorrow morning on the KRFY Morning Show. Jack Peterson and Carrie Logan will be right here. I don't know who their guests are yet, but they always have a good time. That's at 8 o'clock on the morning show. And next week on the KRFY Morning Show on Tuesday, November 22nd, it's Julie Calamine and Phil Huff. Their guests are Brad Smith, Matt Nicklund, and Emily Nikhil, and Emily Cleveland from the Idaho Conservation League. I know they have a couple of new employees over there, and I'm sure there's always updates that we can gather from them. And on Wednesday next week, you're going to go solo.
Chris? I'm going to be here. Yes, you're not going to be in the
area.
In the area. Yeah, you're out of town.
I'm in Wisconsin. So
little old me.
Your guest, if you didn't know yet, is going to be Sarah Clintworth and Jennifer Crooks, who will be talking about Urati's Village. It's an orphanage project kind of based out of Sandpoint, but the orphanage is in Ethiopia. So it's always really interesting. They have an event coming up and they talk about this very heartfelt project that they have going. And then you also have a second guest.
Well, hopefully we're going to have someone from the city. I think we'll have Mayor Ronstadt. We're going to be talking about the street reversion project, which they've been working on. And we'll get an update on that and other city things going on, like the new stadium that's being built at Memorial Field.
Which
I have to think, I don't have the update, but I have to think the rain has kind of slowed things down. They're doing the groundwork for the stadium at this time, and rain can cause that sort of thing to be delayed.
All right. And we also want to invite everyone to the annual corporation meeting of the KRFY. It's open to the public. It's November 30th, 6 p.m. at East Bonner County Library meeting room. So we're calling everyone, listeners, supporters, community members, to join us for this public meeting and get an update on how our community radio station is doing and what's in store for KRFY in 2017. You can call us at 265-2992 if you have more questions about that meeting, but join us. This is a community service here at KRFY, and we're having fun, but we want to hear from...
This is the community.
This is the community, right here in this room this morning.
If you're listening, you're part of KRFY.
So, yeah, join us for this corporation meeting. It's really a membership meeting, and we want you there. And we're going to go out with a song right now. Leon Russell also passed away this week, and this is his song, Tightrope. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.